if you're a firm, like how can you differentiate yourself from other firms in the process to win that business? And if you're a program, like what do you offer that's different beyond just like saying, we'll give you a full ride?
You're listening to Spartan Combat on Spartan Up. Learn from battle-tested combat athletes with your host, Ryan Warner.
Spartans! This is Ryan Warner. You're listening to the Spartan Combat Series here on Spartan Up. My guest today is Mike McMullen, four-time All-American for Northwestern. Now he's in private equity, and we talk about the parallels between being a private equity investor and building great teams. We'll see you next week, Spartans.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Inside Tracker, the ultra-personalized nutrition and wellness platform that analyzes data from your blood. Go to InsideTracker.com and save 33% with the code SPARTANUP.
I do want to hit on, before we get to your current situation, the time you spent at PA, University of Pennsylvania, that is. Mm-hmm. What sticks out to you there is any big learnings or any big, I don't want to say life lessons, but things you took away from that experience?
It's a great question. A lot. Basically, Northwestern was great. Like, I obviously had a great experience. I'm very close with, a lot of people in the athletic department. A very great relationship with Matt Storniello today. I know a lot of the guys on the team today. Like, I'm involved in like mentorship programs with the university. Like, love Northwestern. I have the shirt on, like, huge Purple fan. I finished college and I recognized that I wanted to be in a situation where I could continue my education, but also kind of stay involved with the sport of wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I wanted, kind of at that point in my life, I was like, I kind of want to get, from a master's perspective, like I would like to go to the Ivy League because, being from the East Coast and like I had considered it early on, like I felt, that would be just a good kind of compare situations and understand kind of, it would just help me kind of continue along my path and what my goals were. So there was a really great opportunity that popped up. Penn was looking for an assistant coach and I had gotten accepted into one of their graduate programs as well. I love Philadelphia from Pennsylvania. So it was just like a really sweet situation that I fell into. And, as like a 23-year-old, you get like an assistant coach job, right? And like you've seen like other assistant coaches and you're like, oh, I'm just gonna wrestle kids. Like, I'm gonna go to school and I'm just gonna wrestle kids and practice. And like, that's kind of cool. Like, I'll just work out, like I'll teach them something in the room and it'll be great. Well, I didn't realize like how much goes into being a college coach. And in particular, like if you wanna be a good college coach, like your ability to develop talent in the room is obviously really important, but the two most critical factors that predicate success for a college wrestling program from a coaching perspective is your ability to fundraise and your ability to recruit talent. It's much easier to have a kid who, is an 8 out of 10 and turn him into a 9 out of 10 versus a 4 out of 10 into a 9 out of 10, right? So it's like, if you can attack that at the outset and, get the right kids from talent, from a personality, from a culture perspective, it's just going to help accelerate the trajectory of your program. And I didn't realize that as an athlete. Like, I was just focused on myself. And
so you weren't a GA, you're a coach.
I was a coach. I was an assistant coach. And
that's tough. I mean, to your point, yeah. I don't think people realize how much coaches work, just the constant calling of recruits, traveling. I mean, what was a day in the life like during this experience?
So the other thing too, that was a really important lesson for me to learn in this experience was, hey, like I'm a four-time All-American. Like, I'm one of the best people to never win the NCAA tournament. Like, I shot a heavyweight and that's cool. Like, having that, just like carrying that with me and going into a conversation with a recruit and their family, like that isn't enough to like get somebody on your side. Like, that's not enough to sell your program. Just like being a person, like that's good. Like, that gets people interested and engaged, but that's not what's going to like ultimately sell somebody on the quality of what you're providing as a program. And that was like the number one takeaway from my experience from coaching. Like, I can't just show up, have people look at me and be like, oh, that guy's impressive. Like, we're going to go to school there. Like, it doesn't work that way. You have to be able to communicate effectively. You have to be a really good listener. You have to like understand like what people care about. You have to like be able to show empathy and like connect with people on a human level. And those are all things that I have in me, but I never tapped into them because I was so focused on my own personal development, my own personal goals. Like, it was very, very much like blinders on, like, mm-hmm. Let's get Mike to the top. So like, I recognized that and was like, oh shit, like we're losing recruiting battles to Princeton and Harvard and Stanford and whatever, like, but like, they don't have as good like accolade coaches as like we do. Like, what the hell? So it's like, okay, well, I gotta do more. Like, I gotta call people more. I gotta have conversations. I gotta like communicate. And it really like evoked that out of me, which enabled me to be a better suited like professional candidate for future job opportunities. And just gave me a better sense of kind of how the world works, quite honestly. Mm. So that, like, having that level of responsibility at that young age and recognizing what works and what doesn't work, that has really helped me accelerate my development as a professional and just as a human being. So
just the humility that goes along with any type of sales-related job where you're putting yourself out there hoping to get something and it doesn't always come back. It's just it's an experience that a lot of people probably don't have, but you know, like you said, you learn far more than you think you do with something like that. How would you compare the Ivy League experience to the Big Ten experience?
It's different. They're challenging in different ways. I think that it's just, you know, the Big Ten experience is, I don't want to make it seem like it's all glamour, because it's certainly not. Like, wrestling is not a glamour sport. But, you know, you go and wrestle Minnesota and they've got a couple thousand fans. You go and wrestle Iowa, they've got thousands of fans. You know, you're taking planes places and, you know, you got all your swag and, you know, your athletic departments are like really focus on athletics because, you know, they're really competitive in football and basketball. And the Ivy League is just, that's just not the mentality from like from an athletic perspective. It's like, hey, we offer a lot of these sports and sports are important to like the fabric of our institution. But at the end of the day, like we're about academics and like, you know, there's nothing glamorous about like driving a van to wrestle Rider, to wrestle Princeton, or like driving a van out to Bucknell, like, or taking kids to the Franklin and Marshall Open. Like, it's just not as, it's a little more, I think it's a little bit more of like a gritty college wrestling experience, quite honestly, because you don't get like as accustomed to like, you know, flying and all that kind of stuff. So it's still challenging. It's just a little different mentality, but there's still really talented kids who opt for that route and kind of circumvent the grind that is the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And can kind of surprise folks at the end of the year because, you know, their schedule and experience has been a little bit different. And the visibility is a little different. So
it's that, it does sound like a lot of, like you said, kind of gritty road trips across the East Coast, traversing the winter months.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And it's like, that's stuff that I did when I was a kid. And like, that was hard. And it was just kind of like a back to reality of like, oh, like, no, you don't fly everywhere. Like, you don't get to go on these glamour, you know, trips to wrestle Stanford and Cal Poly and spend December in San Luis Obispo. Like, no, like sometimes you gotta like, you know, ship out to Millersville and like wrestle those guys. Like, you know, it's just different.
It's cool to see Princeton doing their thing right now. I mean, they've been putting together a vicious schedule. And so, of course, there's, you know, wrestling's great in the Ivy League, and it seems to only be getting better.
I would agree. I think, like, if you think about, like, the type of makeup of a person who wrestles, it's usually, like, somebody from blue-collar background, lower socioeconomic background, who's pretty focused and driven and has a good mentality. Like, there are a ton of qualified kids who hit the Ivy League criteria. And the way that the Ivy League is structured with regards to need-based financial aid versus athletic scholarship, from a recruiting perspective, like if you can identify those kids early on and kind of find them, you can get a lot of really quality talent like that. You know, other schools like can't compete on from a scholarship perspective if you do your work. And it's just a matter of like finding and doing the work and like getting the transcripts and getting on the phones. And there's a ton of great candidates, and Ivy League programs can be really good. It's just, you just got to find the kids. That's what it comes down to.
Well, it's like, look at you. I mean, you were one of the top recruit in the country at your weight class. And, you know, I would think, you know, going to Wyoming Sim, that all of the upper echelon educational schools like a Stanford, like a Northwestern would already be all over you. But I mean, I think there's so many kids to recruit, you know. I mean, you've been through it.
Yeah, no, it's, if you're a kid, you have to be an advocate for yourself, and you have to, like, it would be nice if everybody called you, but there's, like you said, there's a lot of kids in the world, and there's only so many, there's three or four coaches that, you know, they have a 50 other things that they're trying to figure out. Just help them out a little bit, you know. Yeah. Show that you're interested. And there's nothing like, you shouldn't be like ashamed or like you like a hit to your confidence or like quality of your recruiting profile if you have to like reach out to somebody. Like if you're like are waiting, if you've gotten like seven calls and you're like waiting for that one call because you really want to go to whatever, like just freaking just reach out to those people. And that's something that, you know, as a kid, it's hard to wrap your head around that. But if like the kids and the parents and the coaches can all be aligned and like recognize that's the reality of the situation, like it can just make things a lot easier for everybody.
I am a firm believer that the ability to cold prospect someone, mostly by email, but also by phone, but if you can put together a solid email, you can get in touch with some incredible people in the world. It's just amazing the amount of people that you can get responses from if you do it right.
I would agree. I think it's just very personal when you put yourself out there and you don't hear back, and people are just, you know, scared of rejection, and like that's totally normal. It's like an innate human trait, but once you get a little callous to it and feel it a little bit, you realize it's not the end of the world, and that like life moves on and you wake up the next day. And it's just hard for people to kind of get over that hump.
For sure. Now, I know we're winding down here. Share with the listeners what you do now for a day job.
Yeah. So, work for a private equity firm, and I'm a technology investor. So basically I'm spending my days looking at software businesses, tech enabled businesses, and trying to understand if they're compelling opportunities and whether or not we want to make investments in these opportunities. And it's pretty awesome. It's funny. Like I think about the key factors for success working in private equity or working in investing, whether it's venture capital or growth equity, private equity. I think about like the key factors that you need to have to like be successful in those industries, and like what you need to be successful as like a college wrestling coach. And it's actually pretty similar when you think about it. Like the way these firms work is like, you know, okay, I've raised $1 billion. I've got $1 billion to spend, and I need to find the best companies possible to invest in. If you're a college wrestling program, like I have 9 scholarships. Like I got to maximize these 9 scholarships with the best possible talent that's out there. Okay, like I got to go find those people. If you're a private equity firm, you found a great company. It's an awesome company. It's growing 100% year over year. It's got like really good margins, whatever. A lot of customers. But 30 other private equity firms have also found it, right? And like the company only is going to choose one of you. They're only going to take the capital from one firm. If you're a really hot wrestling recruit and you've won the Ironman, you're ranked top five in the country, whatever, you're a heavyweight, those are really rare. Chances are like you've got 30 scholarship offers, right? And like you can only choose one of them. And scholarships are money. Investments are money. So then it really boils down to, okay, if I'm a business, I'm going to get an investment regardless. If I'm an athlete, like I'm going to get a scholarship regardless. Like I'm going to get the money. What else am I going to get that is going to be differentiated beyond like the pure dollars that I've earned through my business or through my athletic success? So that's where it really comes down to, like, if you're a firm, like, how can you differentiate yourself from other firms in the process to win that business? And if you're a program, like, what do you offer that's different beyond just, like, saying we'll give you a full ride, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where it boils down to, like, have you spent the time building a relationship with that, you know, prospect over X amount of years? You know, do you know, like, their coach? Do you know, like, you know, the fabric of the community that they've come up in? Like, do you really understand that person? Like, do they feel like they connect with you? And do they feel like you're the person who's going to help them on the trajectory to where they want to get to in life? You know, what beyond the scholarship, you know, are you going to provide them with tools to be academically successful? Like, do you have advisors? Do you have counselors? All that kind of stuff. From a professional development perspective, like, how do you guys think about that? Do you care about that? You know, what does your network look like? Are people post wrestling doing great things in life that you want to do? Can you talk to those people? Like, are they going to help you kind of along that path? All that kind of stuff. Wow. And same thing if you're a business, like, okay, like if I take an investment from you guys, like maybe I want to IPO in 5 years and I want to still be on the same growth trajectory that I'm on today. Like, are you guys going to help me better operationalize my business? Are you going to help me develop new products? Are you going to help me meet other CEOs in your portfolio so I can become a better leader and, you know, organically help my business grow more? So it's all that kind of stuff of what else can I offer beyond just the dollars and the investment? And I think like that, that parallel is pretty interesting. And I'm probably the only person in the world who has that perspective. But I think it's very similar. And that's why I get really excited about being in the industry I'm in, because I know at the end of the day, like those skills that I developed at a young age as a coach eventually are going to really come back and help me as an investor, like better differentiate myself in competitive processes with great businesses and, you know, give myself an opportunity to win that for whatever firm I work for. So we have great investments in our portfolio.
Wow. That, to your point, I've never heard of it. I thought you were going to answer one way and you went a whole other way and it was awesome. And I never thought about it the way you just said it, but think about the college coaches who have had some business experience beforehand. How much of an advantage would that be? I mean, like a Sean Bormet who ran a business for 10 years or 12 years. I just think about those coaches who, I mean, because it's so fundraising based, it would be a tremendous advantage. Just like I'm sure it's a big advantage for the fact that you were a collegiate coach before you became, a private equity investor.
Yeah, no, I think totally, because, you know, there are programs and like your love for the sport really matters. And like I said earlier, your ability to teach technique in the room, like really matters. But fundamentally, like your ability to recruit great talent, whether that's, you know, fellow coaches or athletes, get people to buy into your vision of what you're trying to build. And you think about that from like a fundraising perspective. The other parallel between private equity and college coaching is on the fundraising piece. Like if you're a firm, you want, you know, endowments, pensions, or whatever to invest dollars with you. and they have a lot of places they can invest dollars with, but like, why is your firm different? Like, why is your vision different? Like, are you going to be the big thing? Like, are you going to have great returns? Like, why should I pick you? Same thing from like a fundraising perspective. Like, if you're a college coach, you know, okay, like, what is your vision for the program? Like, is the trajectory looking promising? Like, can we look at historical like trends and see like, oh, you guys are on the up and up. And if I give you $250,000, you know, you're going to use it wisely to kind of feed that growth and continue to build a great program. So yeah, I think the people who have had that experience and have the sort of business acumen that you can develop kind of outside of the sport and then are able to kind of come back in and incorporate that into the day-to-day that they experience as college coaches are certainly, you know, better positioned and advantaged when it comes to, you know, being competitive from like a recruiting and fundraising perspective.
I can imagine. I mean, I have so many follow-up questions based on that, but I know we have to run. Just my last thing I was going to say is, I don't think a lot of people, including myself, have any idea how much fundraising college coaches do. Even if you have the 9.9 scholarships, it's not like it's just guaranteed. Just, I mean, the scholarships, sometimes they're, yeah, you know, you're fundraising them, but it's an ongoing thing.
So it's not like, yeah, the scholarships are important, right? But it's like, what's your budget? And your budget determines what your year looks like. Mm-hmm. And if you're a kid, you want to sign up for a great experience. Like, you've wrestled in gyms in bumblefuck Pennsylvania, like every crevice of wherever, like it sucked. It was really hard. And like, you got into college, like you made it. Okay, I'm here now. I want my college experience I want to be rewarded for all the hard work I did. Like, I know how to wrestle. I know how to go to tournaments. Like, and I'm still going to do that, but you know, can I do it in a better way and differentiated way? And it's more fun to be at a program where, you know, you're going to San Luis Obispo in December and like, yeah, you're going to wrestle Cal Poly while you're out there, but you're going to spend two other days, you know, just soaking in the California coast and having an experience and opportunity that you wouldn't otherwise get if you didn't do this sport. And the programs that fundraise well and can facilitate like those types of things are the ones that are just going to continue to get better talent. Because when the recruiting pitch, it's like, hey, like, yeah, we, you know, every year, like we, you know, right around December, we know, like, you know, the wrestling season's long. Like, you know, we know you guys have worked hard in preseason and like got a couple matches under our belt, like, you know, right before December and Christmas break and stuff and Midland's coming up, you know, we'll go out to the West Coast for a couple of days and like, you know, let you guys enjoy like the water and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's a much more compelling message as a young kid, like who is yearning for a better opportunity, which is why they're trying in wrestling in the first place. It's just a much better message than, yeah, like, you know, yeah, it's like nice that we get to wrestle like, you know, Ryder and whatever, and it's all really close and it's like nice because we can just bus everywhere and like, you know, just knock these, we got all these programs around us. It's great. And you're like, okay, yeah, but like, I've already done that, you know, like, so for the programs you have who are able to like develop these great budgets and have these differentiated experiences and opportunities that they can pitch to kids, I think that's incredibly important and like a really key differentiator from a recruiting perspective.
For sure. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Mike, I really enjoyed this. I know. It's like the amount of coaches where I think they could use a little more business acumen or a little bit more just panaz. I mean, I don't know how to describe it, but there's, and I'm not going to mention that, but there's some out there and you're like, you got to have a little more energy, you know? You look at what Cornell's done, Ohio State's done, you know, two of the best leaders in the game. Mike, I have to run, unfortunately. Thank you very much for your time, sir. I enjoyed the conversation. And now that you're back in Chicago, we got to meet up and grab a couple of beers at some point.
100%. Thanks for having me on. It was really great catching up and hope you have a great weekend.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Inside Tracker, the ultra-personalized nutrition and wellness platform that analyzes data from your blood. Go to InsideTracker.com and save 33% with the code SPARTANUP.